God, I pray that everyone would listen carefully and understand what the Bible has to say about this vital subject. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, of the chapter that we just read, Colossians chapter 1, I wanted to focus on one verse, really, in verse number 18, where the Bible reads, "And He is the head of the body, the church." We're talking about Jesus Christ. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, who is the beginning. Remember Jesus said, "I am the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega." He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Important verse there. I want to talk to you tonight about the importance of being independent as a local church and the sin of denominations. The importance of being independent as a local church and the sin, yes, the sin of denominations. Now we see here in Colossians 1:18 that the head of the church and the head of every legitimate Bible-believing church is Jesus Christ. Now I'm not going to spend time refuting the doctrine of the invisible church. You know, the invisible church, right? The universal church. This false doctrine that says that all believers are part of the church. Okay. Now, I spent a lot of time going into that on my sermon. If you'd like to go back and learn more about that, my sermon on Revelation chapter 3. Of course, all the sermons are on the internet and we have CDs of them. Revelation chapter 3. And also on Wednesday night, I went through that and showed that the church is not, there's not one big invisible entity of the church, the universal church. We believe in the local church. Churches, plural, okay? And the Bible uses it on and on in the plural. We know that the definition of the word church is congregation. God quotes it that way from the Old Testament into the New Testament. A congregation is a assembly of people. It's where people congregate together. Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And so it's not just a gathering, though. It's actually a local church, a called-out assembly, a congregation of people for the purpose of, you know, the Bible being preached. It's the institution that God ordained in the New Testament. Now, who is the head of Faithful Word Baptist Church? Who is the boss, is what it's saying when it says the head. You say, "Well, Pastor Anderson, you're the boss." No, 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 I am not the boss. Jesus Christ is the boss. Now, look if you would at Ephesians chapter 5. Just flip back a few pages and look at Ephesians chapter 5. Now, Pastor Anderson does have some authority in this church. The only authority that I have is when I tell you this is what the Bible says. That's as authoritative because it's from God, though, not because I said it. And obviously, God does put me in a position of ruling, is what the Bible calls it, where I basically control what goes on in this church. Okay. Now, do I control the lives of the people in this church? No. Do I tell you what to do when you walk out the door? No. But God has put me in a position where I administrate this church. I run the service. I preach the sermon. I run the song service. I give the announcements. But the real leader of our church, the real head of our church, the person who supersedes anything I say is Jesus Christ. You see, if I say something contrary to what the Bible says, then you have the right and the obligation to say, "No, wrong. Let's go with what Jesus says." If I got up and said, "You know what? I just don't think door-to-door soul winning works anymore. I think we're going to switch to just lifestyle evangelism. We're going to change our whole method of thinking." You know, you have the right to stand up and say, "No, wrong, Pastor Anderson. We will have door-to-door soul winning. And if I ever tried to end door-to-door soul winning, you should throw me out of the pulpit." Because the Bible says to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus Christ said, "Daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." So Pastor Anderson's authority is very limited because my authority comes in under the authority of Jesus Christ. Now look at Ephesians chapter 5. We'll see this more clearly. The Bible says in verse number 22 of Ephesians chapter 5, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Now is the word wives there plural or singular? Plural. He's talking to a multitude of wives. And he's telling them to submit to their own husbands as unto the Lord. He's saying the same way that you submit to the Lord, that's the same degree of submission that you're supposed to have to your husband. And it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife." Now, is that singular or plural? Singular. "The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." Now, Does that mean there's only one church? No, because is there only one wife? Is there only one husband? No. But every wife has her husband as her head. That's talking about authority. That's talking about leadership. The leadership in the home, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if this is popular. Even among independent fundamental Baptists, this is starting to die. But I'm going to tell you something. In my home, I'm the leader and I make the decisions. My wife is not the leader at my house. You know, I don't want to get too personal who I'm talking about, but there's this guy, okay? And the phone rang, and he says, oh wait, the boss is gone. I got to talk to the boss. But it is his wife, okay? And he wasn't kidding either. And I asked this guy, can you do this, this, and this? And he said, well, I got to ask the boss. And he's talking about his wife. You know, shame on you. Shame on you. I'm surprised you can call yourself a man. You ought to wear the pants in your family, sir. And it's your job to lead that house. You ought to be nice and kind and good to your husband. But I'm going to tell you something. It's your job to lead that house. It's your job to lead the way spiritually. It's your job to lead the way financially. It's your job to lead the way and set the course of that household. You ought to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so, don't let the tail wag the dog in your house. Men are in authority by God's design. Now, does that mean that women are inferior to men? No, absolutely not. Women are just as important as men. In Christ, there's neither male nor female, the Bible says. Women and men are the same authority. They just have a different position, okay? Am I better than you because I'm the pastor and you're in the pew? No. Is the wife inferior to a husband? Is the husband better than the wife? No. But somebody's got to be in charge, and God has ordained the husband to be in charge in that home. And a wife who is disobedient to her husband is disobedient to God. You disobey your husband, you just disobey Jesus Christ. Now, if your husband tells you to do something that's a sin, we ought to obey God rather than man. Okay? So the Bible says we're supposed to submit to the higher authority. So the only time it's okay to disobey your husband, ladies, is when he tells you to do something that's a sin. You say, I can't do that, I'm sorry, I will not sin. He tells you, don't go to church, you say, well, I'm going to go to church anyway, because God told me to go to church. Or, well, you need to tell this lie for me. You know, the phone rings. Tell him I'm not here. Yeah, it's a lie. Okay. Just hang up on them. You know, this is the great thing about cell phones. You know, I'm talking to somebody, and I'll be in the middle of talking to them, I just close the cell phone. The call dropped. You know, but I didn't say the call dropped. I just closed the cell phone. You know, I had a guy call me one time. He started asking me all kinds of questions about our business. And he was asking all kinds of questions. And he had just been hired by our company the day before. But he was asking a lot of questions of stuff that he shouldn't be knowing about and that I shouldn't be telling him about. But he's asking about all the inner workings of our company. I just started talking to him and I just closed the cell phone. I didn't tell him to call. I didn't lie to him. I'm not going to lie to him. But I just called the boss right away and said, listen, this guy's asking questions that he shouldn't be asking. You know, you tell me whether I'm supposed to be telling this guy, you know, all this financial information about our company the first day he worked for us. And so, you know what? You ought never to lie to somebody. You know, if you don't want to talk to somebody, hang up on them. Or just tell them you're in the shower, if you're in the shower. Or tell them that you're there, but you don't want to talk to them. But don't lie, okay? And so if your husband asks you to lie, don't lie. If mom and dad ask you to lie, don't lie. Tell the truth. And so you ought never sin against God to obey authority. If the boss, you know, everybody has had the boss at work tell you to lie at some point. Or to tell you to do something dishonest somewhere in your career. Right? I mean, I've had my boss, not my current boss, but other bosses tell me to lie and tell me to do something dishonest, and I have to refuse to do it because we have to obey God rather than men. But whenever it's possible, you're to obey human authority, such as your husband or children, obey your parents, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, etc. But look what it says here. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, here's what we see. The church is to be subject to Christ in everything. So who's the boss of Faith Forward Baptist Church? Jesus Christ. Now, you say, what's wrong with denominations? Well, the problem with the denomination, I'm explaining to you what a denomination is, in case you're not familiar with it. The problem with the denomination is that the denomination becomes a substitute for Jesus Christ as being the authority over a local church. Now, here we are meeting in Tempe, Arizona, an assembly of born-again, baptized believers here, a local church. No one is telling us what to do tonight. No one is telling me what to preach. No one is telling us what songs to sing. The only person who tells us anything is our head, our boss, Jesus Christ. Now, there are two officers that God has ordained in the local church. Those are pastors and deacons. We don't have deacons, because deacons are something that churches that are much larger need to have. According to the Bible, when a church becomes very large, they begin to have deacons. But we have pastors and we have deacons. That's the only people God talks about. He doesn't talk about, these presidents of the denomination, denominational secretary. He doesn't talk about all these other positions of authority. There's the pastor and the deacon, and they answer directly to Jesus Christ, period. That's who the boss is. I don't even answer to you. I don't answer to this church. We're not going to vote on soul winning. We're not going to vote on what I preach. You vote on it all you want. I don't care what you say. I'm going to preach what Jesus says to preach. And so, a denomination, and in case you're not familiar with what a denomination is basically a network of churches. Okay? And this network of churches, they're all interconnected. They all have basically the same doctrine, the same beliefs, and they have the same doctrinal statement, and then they have a head over them, a board, some kind of a committee, some kind of a president or chairman of the board, and then they have trustees, and they have the denominational secretaries, and they have the denominational missionaries and all these different things. And it's basically affiliation, if you will. Let me give you some examples. The Southern Baptist Convention, the SBC. How many of you have ever heard of a Southern Baptist church? Put up your hand. The Southern Baptists are based out of Dallas, Texas. There are people sitting in a building somewhere in Dallas, Texas, that are telling every Southern Baptist church what to believe, what to preach, what to teach in Sunday school. 10% of the offerings that come into those Southern Baptist churches go to Dallas, Texas. And they're distributed by this machine in Dallas, Texas, called a denomination. Now you say, that's not true. The Southern Baptists aren't a denomination. They're just a convention. That is such a lie. The Southern Baptists are such a denomination, and I'll prove it to you. Do you think that if I start preaching the way I preach in a Southern Baptist church, you know what would happen? They would throw me out of the denomination. I could list for you the names of many preachers that I know who were thrown out of the Southern Baptist Convention for preaching on things like soul winning, King James Bible, these kind of fundamentals of the faith. They were thrown out of the convention. And they became independent Baptists because they were thrown out. Now, there are other denominations, for example, that are not the way, that don't believe like we believe. The Southern Baptists don't believe like we believe, by the way. They don't use the King James Bible. They don't do door-to-door soul winning. And they believe in what's called lordship salvation, which means you must make Jesus the Lord of your life in order for you to be saved. Like he has, you have to decide that you're going to obey him and such and such. And it's veiled work salvation. It's just another spin on it. But anyway, you ever heard of the United Methodists? That's a denomination. You could go to a United Methodist church in Phoenix or anywhere in America, and they're going to believe basically the same things because they're all connected in a denomination. On and on, they're all different denominations. There are the Presbyterians of America. You know, they're all linked together. The Lutheran, you know, Missouri Synod or whatever it's called, where they're all conglomerated and they're all part of this organization. We, on the other hand, are an independent Baptist church. We truly have Jesus Christ as our head. A Southern Baptist church does not have Jesus Christ as its head. Because if Jesus tells them to preach or do something from the Bible, they may not even have the power to do that because they have to answer to another master in Dallas, Texas. And I'm going to tell you something. No man can serve two masters. That's why God set it up in the home that the man is in charge. That's why God puts, authority in place. You can't have two masters. You can't say, well, we obey Dallas, Texas, and Jesus Christ, because one day, my friend, there's going to come a conflict between Dallas, Texas, and Jesus Christ, and you're going to have to choose which one you're going to serve. You're going to tell me that the denomination is always going to agree with Jesus all the time? No. And that's why each local independent Baptist church has to have Jesus Christ only as its authority in its head. That's what God ordained here. Christ is the head of the church. Not some council, not some board, not some committee somewhere, but Jesus Christ alone is the head of the church. Here's another one. Baptist Bible Fellowship. started out as independent Baptist churches, started fellowshipping together, and now they are just a full-blown denomination, the BBF, Baptist Bible Fellowship, total denomination. Anybody who disputes that is a liar. The BBF, the SBC, the North American Baptists, the GARB, General Association of Regular Baptists, these are denominations. The Catholic Church is a mega denomination. The Pope is their head. They have cardinals, archbishops, bishops, and they have a pyramid authority structure that goes up to the Pope. Not Jesus Christ, but the Pope is the authority. The Mormon Church is a denomination. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, LDS. They are all connected. It doesn't matter what town you're in. They all believe the same thing. Because they're all answering the boss man. Not Jesus Christ, but Salt Lake City is their boss man. And so that's what a denomination is, just in case you're not sure what that is. So you see, a church that is part of a denomination is committing the sin of idolatry. Because they have put someone or something in the place of Jesus Christ as being their sole authority. A pastor who says, I am the final authority. I am the final word of what's true. He has committed the sin of idolatry by putting himself in the place of Jesus Christ. But it's no more, it's no less idolatry to put some denomination in the place of Jesus Christ as being the head of the church. Now, the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And the God is who you serve and who you obey. Now, many churches are very deceptive about this. They call themselves non-denominational. But are they really non-denominational? Well, if you really ask them, most non-denominational churches, and one good way is to look them up in the phone book, because you'll see them under a heading called Assemblies of God. Assemblies of God is a denomination. We used to have a preaching service that we held at the two nursing homes here when I first started the church. I was kicked out of both of them. I don't know why I was kicked out of them. I did it for about 5 or 6 months. I was kicked out of one, and then a month later, I was kicked out of the other one. And, Roger Jimenez was the last person to preach at one of them. So I'm blaming him why I got kicked out. That had nothing to do with me. But, what made me so sick about that is that the elderly people at these homes, by the way, our preaching service had more people attending it than the other two churches that came in. We had the most people, and the elderly people loved it. They begged us, don't stop coming. Don't ever stop coming. We love the service. We love the preaching. You're our pastor. Faith Forward Baptist Church is our church. And we'd have 25 people every single time at these meetings, and, there's only 50 people there in the whole place. And they loved it. They loved and the harder I preached, they'd come up to me, but you know who it was? Some of the staff were a little bit offended by some of the things that I was preaching. And you know what made me so sad about these nursing homes is that you walk in and they're blasting like this rock music. And I'm thinking to myself, this isn't what these elderly people want to hear. They want to hear the Roaring Twenties or something, but they don't want to hear this. Okay, maybe it's not the, and they're blasting stuff. Why? Because that's what the staff wants to listen to. And these people are paying thousands and thousands of dollars a month. What was it? $5,000 a month, because one of the ones we were in was a very upscale one. It was very nice. $5,000 a month. Why not give them the preaching that they want? Give them the music they want. Give them the service that they want. Hey, give them the choice. Nobody's forcing them to go there. If they don't like the service, they don't have to go there. But they took away the service because the director's wife was offended by some of the things that I was preaching. That's so wrong. I mean, I guarantee you some people must be offended by the Catholic service. I guarantee you some people are offended by the charismatic service. Why not give people the freedom to choose what service they want to go to? Nobody's making them go there. Nobody's making them listen to it. But they got some, the devil just wanted us out of there or whatever. And so we got kicked out of both of them. Glory to God. Hey, I praise God that I'm not some compromising, sissified little, wimp preacher that's afraid that, oh no, I'm afraid I'm going to get kicked out. Hey, kick me out! Huh? Kick me out of this church for all I care! I'm going to preach the Bible the way it needs to be preached! If I preach out in the parking lot, we'll see, come out the parking lot, I'm preaching out here, if you throw me out. I'm not going to sit here and let somebody push me around. I'm going to let some staff member's wife, because first they warned me. I said, no. It's not changing. Oh, but Pastor Anderson, now you got thrown out. Hey, I'm right with God. How are you doing? I'm going to go to bed tonight right with God. Huh? I preached like I needed to be preached. And, I was only there for 6 months. But for 6 months, they heard it like it needed to be preached. And that staff heard it like it needed to be preached. And you know what? I can still go up and down the door. I did that on Sunday afternoons. Hey, I spent my Sunday afternoon today knocking doors, preaching to God, pull the door. So either way, I'm preaching the gospel, whether it's in a nursing home, whether it's in this pulpit, whether it's door to door. Hey, I'm going to preach the Bible like it needs to be preached. I'm going to lift up my head high and say, God is pleased with my preaching, and I don't care what anybody thinks. But that had nothing to do with it. I'm trying to get back to this story. I don't even know why it's even in the sermon. But this nursing home, they had another service. They had our service. It said on the little calendar of events, you know, they had the Catholic Mass early in the morning, and then they had Baptist service. That was us. Well, 2 o'clock or whatever it was. And then they had non-denominational service at 3 o'clock. Now, this is so deceptive and such a lie because the non-denominational service was run by a church called The Door at Tempe. Well, I went on their website, and there are hundreds of churches all over America called The Door. It's a denomination called The Door. And they're all connected. They have a board of directors. There's a door in every town. The door at Tempe, the door at Los Angeles, the door at Glendale, the door at Mesa, the door at, you know, and they have just denomination, okay? But yet they're calling it non-denominational. What they're doing is they're trying to hide what they are. See, I'm telling you right now, hey, I'm a Baptist. I believe like a Baptist. I preach like a Baptist. The non-denominational guy, he's preaching like a Pentecostal. I looked up their doctrine. They believe you could lose your salvation. They believe in speaking in tongues. They believe in all these different things. And yet they put up their non-denominational, like, oh, we're just non-denominational. You don't think he's preaching what he believes? I guarantee you, he got up and preached. You could lose your salvation, speaking in tongues, charismatic. The difference is, he's trying to trick you. I'm telling the truth. Okay? We were out soul winning, 2 weeks ago. We ran into a guy. He was a pastor of a church. I said, what kind of church? He said, non-denominational. I said, but what are you affiliated with, though? I said, what are you tied in with? Oh, Assemblies of God. Like, well, then how are you non-denominational if the Assemblies of God are telling you what to preach? See, the difference is, look, if I took, let's say I were part of the Southern Baptist Convention, okay? Are you following the sermon tonight? Does this make sense to you? Let's say I'm part of the Southern Baptist Convention, and so I wrote, and I'm not, thank God, but let's say I put on a sign right here, I'm drawing a sign right now, Faithful Word Southern Baptist Church, okay? Hey, look, I'm just making it clear what we are. Faithful Word, Southern Baptist Church. What you see is what you get. Or maybe, you know, I just call it, you know, Faithful Word Baptist Church, you know, and sometimes they just put like SBC. You know, just to tell you, hey, Southern Baptist. But, you know, some of these churches will say like this. Cross Point at Tempe. Okay, this is a real church. This is in downtown Tempe. I think that's what it's called. Cross Point at Tempe. Now, the casual observer says, oh, it's non-denominational. Great. But this is what it says on the sign. This is on, it's on University Avenue. The only reason I know about it is because it's by my favorite restaurant, Dave's Doghouse. There's a great hot dog place in downtown Tempe called Dave's Doghouse. This has been a word from my sponsor, Dave's Doghouse. But anyway, it says right real small on the sign in the corner, SBC. Okay. But see, they're not even putting Baptist in their name, although they're part of a Baptist denomination. Okay, do you think that's a little bit deceptive to tell somebody we're non-denominational when you're a part of a full-blown denomination that's telling you what to do, what to preach, what to say? Now, Faithful Word Baptist Church is truly non-denominational. You are sitting in a non-denominational church because we are not a part, we're not affiliated with any other Baptist church. We're not part of any denomination. We have no controlling power other than Jesus Christ. We put Baptist in the name simply to tell you what we believe, what we doctrinally believe. We believe that you can't lose your salvation. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. We believe in salvation by grace through faith. These are the things that Baptists have historically believed. We call ourselves Baptists to identify ourselves. Are we part of a Baptist denomination? No. So isn't it ironic that the non-denominational church, so-called, is part of a denomination, and Faithful Word Baptist Church is truly non-denominational? Do you understand what I'm saying with that? So don't let people fool you into telling you they go to... Whenever people say, I go to a non-denominational church, sometimes it will truly be an independent church. But 9 times out of 10, you get to talking to them, and they'll tell you what the denomination is. It's either Assemblies of God, Church of Christ, Church of God in Christ, it's Methodist, it's Southern Baptist, it's North American Baptist, whatever the case may be, it's part of a denomination. Just today, for example, we're out soul winning, and we talked to somebody who went to Calvary Chapel. Calvary Chapel says, we are not a denomination. Yet, there's a Calvary Chapel in every town. There's Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, I think is where it started. Calvary Chapel in Fair Oaks. Calvary Chapel in Orangevale. Calvary Chapel, Sacramento. Calvary Chapel, Phoenix. Calvary Chapel, Mesa. Calvary Chapel, Tempe. Calvary Chapel, Gilbert. Calvary. Now, that sounds like a denomination. And they all have a leader. You know what the leader's name is? Chuck Smith. Chuck Smith is the leader of the Calvary. He started the first Calvary Chapel, and he franchised it out like Burger King. And there's Calvary Chapels all over. And they say, we're not a denomination. Then why do you all believe the same thing? Okay, you're not a denomination? Well, then why don't I call myself Calvary Chapel? We're going to call ourselves Faithful Word Calvary Chapel. That's against the law for me to do that. Why? Because I don't believe what they believe. I don't preach what they preach. I don't teach what they teach. Chuck Smith is not my guru. Chuck Smith is not my Jesus Christ as the head of my church here. Okay? No, Jesus is the head of our church. And so, is Calvary Chapel a denomination? Look, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. Okay? If Calvary Chapel is not a denomination, then what is a denomination? What's the difference between that and any other? You say, oh, they're all a little different. Well, I'm sure all United Methodist Churches are slightly different, but they all have the same things in common. I'm sure Assemblies of God are all a little bit different, but they all believe you can lose your salvation. They all believe in speaking in tongues. So, yes, there are slight differences, but they're still part of a denomination that tells them if you cross a certain line, you're out of the denomination. You say, well, what's the problem with that? Well, the problem is that they get paid, the pastors of denominational churches don't get paid from the church. They get paid from the denomination. So what happens? They get up and start preaching the Bible like it needs to be preached. They get kicked out of the denomination. They lose their retirement. They lose their pension. They lose their paycheck. They lose their vehicle. They lose their house that's paid for by the denomination, and they lose everything. You say, well, that's okay. They should just keep preaching, right? Well, the problem is you have a conflict of interest because now the pastor's afraid to step on the toes of big, bad denomination because they have their hands in his wallet, okay? Do you think that that's a good situation for a denomination to have their hands in the pastor's wallet? Telling him, you better preach the way we want you to preach or we're going to take your money away. We're going to take your pension away. So that's why let me give you an example. Brother Dave and I were out soul winning about probably almost a year ago. This was a long time ago. And we were in Tempe here. And we were soul winning, and there was a church right there in Tempe, a Baptist church. And a man walked out of the Baptist church, and he was the song leader of that church. He was the song director. And he walked out. We approached him, and we were going to give him the gospel. Turned out he was already saved. You know, he gave us a testimony that he was saved. And we asked him, he said, I go to church right here. I'm the song leader. I lead the music. And we said, oh, okay. And he said, our church is part of such and such denomination. I forget the name of it. And he said, well, we just pulled out of the denomination. He said, we just had to pull out. And there's a Baptist church. He said, we just left the denomination. I said, why did you guys leave the denomination? He said, because the denomination, our Baptist denomination, is accepting homosexuals now as, Sunday school teachers and deacons. And they won't even say that homosexuality is a sin anymore. This is what the song leader told us of the Baptist church in Tempe. He said, the denomination won't even say that it's a sin to commit homosexuality. He said, they just won't say anything about it, and they're just allowing them to be members in good standing and what have you. And he said that this is what they said at their denominational meeting, that there were only 7 references to homosexuality in the whole Bible, and only one of them was telling you not to do it. Now, that's so ridiculous because there are a lot more than 7 references and all of them are telling you don't do it. All of them are telling you that it's wicked as hell. And so here he is telling us how they had to pull out of the denomination. He said it's hard because he's saying the denomination owned the building. The denomination paid the salaries. He said, our church is really struggling because we pulled out of the denomination. Now, look, praise God that they pulled out of that denomination. But most of the churches in that Baptist convention are going to drink the Kool-Aid. Why? Because they don't want to lose the building. They don't want to lose their money. They don't want to lose their pension. And so they have to just go along with the flow instead of obeying Jesus Christ and preaching what needs to be preached. Thank God that they took the stand. But you see what they had to go through to take that stand? Struggling. Not even sure if things are going to work out, if they're even going to exist. Because they had to, buy the building from the denomination. They had to do all this stuff. That's what I'm talking about. Denominations. Now, not only that, but denominations also try to control what the pastor preaches. Okay? Now, nobody tells me what I can and can't preach. I promise you that if some denomination were listening to my sermons, they would hate every single one of them. You say, no, Pastor Anderson, that's not true. Look, they would hate it. They'd say, you can't use words like faggot. Oh, I'm sorry, did I just say that? Oops. You can't use words like faggot. You can't get up and scream and yell. You can't get up and say that this is a sin and blah, blah, blah. You know, you can't name the names of these other churches in town and everything. Look, nobody's telling me that. Praise God. I can preach what I see needs to be preached. You ever read the books Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk? You know, there's some pretty hard preaching in those books. I mean, some very hard preaching. Hey, that's where I learn how to preach. I read those books. Okay, that's God's example to me. This is what preaching is supposed to be like. But denominations and organizations are more interested in money. They don't care about what preaching is supposed to be like. They want big crowds, big offerings, money going to Dallas, money going to Salt Lake City, or whatever the case may be. Now, look at Acts chapter 20, and I'll show you the positive example here. Acts chapter 20. So the biggest sin of denominations is that it's an idol. It's something that takes the place of Jesus Christ. You ought never go to a church that's part of a denomination. Because if you go to a church that's part of any denomination, even if you say, well, it's a good denomination. Any church that's part of any denomination, the pastor has his hands tied about what he can really say and do, what he really wants to do. And he's totally lost his authority. The church has totally lost Jesus Christ as their head. And they're basically kowtowing to some businessman somewhere in some distant city telling them what to do. If you ever go to a church that's a denominational church, it's a compromising church. They'll compromise on everything. They'll back down on everything. There will not be fiery preaching. There will not be soul winning up and down the streets. It will be totally watered down and compromised. I'll tell you that right now. But look at Acts chapter 20, verse 18. I'm going to show you the importance of the local church. The Bible says in Acts 20, 18, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. Now here was a guy that didn't miss church. I mean, in season, out of season, fall, spring, summer, winter, he made church a priority in his life. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying away of the Jews. And now I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. I have not shunned to declare unto you, all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone, night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Now, what are you trying to illustrate with that, Pastor Anderson? Well, number one, hey, the church is so important that it was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how valuable Faithful Word Baptist Church is. That's how valuable every independent, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Baptist church is. Hey, it was purchased by the blood of God himself. But not only that, look what he says here. He promises in verse 29, he says, I know that after I leave here, grievous wolves are going to come in and try to mess you up doctrinally. He says, I know that false teachers will come into this church and try to infiltrate this church. He says, I promise you it's going to happen. And they're going to teach false doctrine. And he says, not only that, but in verse 30, your own selves. He says, somebody in this congregation I'm preaching to right now, Paul said. He's preaching to people that he'd been pastoring for 3 years. He said, there are going to be people, even in this group right here, that are going to arise and speak perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And he says, watch, remember, by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day. But look what he says here. Look at verse 31, or 32. This is what's important. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. Now, is Paul still trying to have authority over this church after he leaves? Is he saying, I'm going to keep checking on you, and I'm going to be over here in Cilicia, or I'm going to be over here in Caesarea, maybe I'll be here in Antioch or Jerusalem, but I'm still going to be making sure that you are still doing things the way I want you to do them. I'm still going to run your church from over here in Dallas or over here in Cilicia. No, he says, now that I'm leaving, I have no choice but to commend you to God. All I can do is just turn this church over to God. He says, you know, you're going to have a new pastor, you're going to have new leaders, and I'm just going to have to trust God. See, he's done with it. When he leaves, he's done with it. He says, you're not going to see my face anymore. I'm gone. I'm done with it. I'm commending you to God. He just tried to teach him everything he could while he was there. He just tried to warn him everything he could while he was there. He said, God's able to build you up, in verse 32, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. The local church is the most important institution in the spiritual world that there is. God has three institutions. The family, which is the first institution that he created. Nations, which he created in Genesis chapter 10. And the local church, which was built upon Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone in the New Testament. So we have three institutions. The local church, the family, and government, human government, nations. Now, the local church is what Jesus died for. Did Jesus die for a school? No. Did Jesus die for a denomination? No. Did Jesus die for some kind of a ministry somewhere? No. He died for a local church. Now, if the church is so important, if the local church is what God emphasizes, mentioning it in almost every chapter of all these epistles, of the book of Acts, of Romans, 1 Corinthians, they're all written to churches, they're all about churches. You'll see over and over, church, church, churches, church, 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 church. If Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, the church is what I'm building. The church is what I want to do. He said, the church is what I'm using. If I write the book of Romans, it's going to be to the church. 1 Corinthians is written to the church at Corinth. Huh? To all the churches in Colossae, in Galatia, the church at Ephesus, the church in Thessalonica, the church in all these various places. If the church is so important, why is it that Christians in 2007 put so much money and resources into things that are not the church? Does the church not work anymore? Is the church not effective as the tool of God to win souls and reach people with the gospel and train you and edify you and build you up? Is the church no longer able to do the job in your life that it was in the Bible? Now look, we went out soul winning this afternoon. We have 8 people out soul winning this afternoon, on Sunday afternoon, and other people go different times during the week. You know, we have 8 people saved in several hours of soul winning. Now look, I couldn't go out by myself and have 8 people saved. You know, maybe I could in a much more extended period of time. But why? See, we were a team. Okay, that's what the church is, and it's assembly here. We get together, we hear the Bible preached, and then we go out into the highways and edges and compel them to come in that God's house may be full. Why is it that we don't believe in 2007 that the church has what it takes to do the job for God in Phoenix, Arizona? Why was the church able to get the job done in the book of Acts? I don't see a Christian radio station in the book of Acts. I don't see any schools or colleges in the book of Acts. I don't see any missionary boards, boards of missionaries and these different institutions. I don't see any headquarters of denominations. I don't see any of these things. I see local churches soul winning, preaching the gospel, and seeing multitudes and thousands saved. Why were they able to do it? I'll tell you why. Because the Bible says it right away in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 1. They were all in one accord. They were all in one place. They were all in one accord. They were all out preaching the gospel. Daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. That's why they were able to get the job done. Don't tell me that it's not possible in 2007 for a local church without any of these other organizations without any of these other man-made institutions, that the local church is not able to reach Phoenix, Arizona with the gospel, or to reach any city in America with the gospel. I still believe that God can get the job done with His methods of the local church, soul winning, reading the Bible, praying, memorizing the Bible, singing the old hymns, preaching the gospel, preaching the Word of God. Hey, we can get the job done with God's methods without having to use all these modern tools and inventions. There's no reason in the world why we have to link up all our churches and get in some denomination to reach the world. The Bible says here that the local church is what's getting it done in the book of Acts. You know, the book of Acts should be our pattern book. We should read the book of Acts to see what kind of a church we need to be. This is the book of the people who got the job done, God's way. You see, these ministries that are not run by the local church, they are not advancing the kingdom of God. Because they're drawing people's attention away from the one institution that really has what it takes to get the job done, which is the local church. We need a resurgence of people thinking that church is important. Church is important. Those of you who go soul winning in this church, you would not be going soul winning if it weren't for Faithful Word Baptist Church. Would you have gone out soul winning today? Would you have gone out soul winning yesterday or whenever you went? No, you would not be going soul winning without Faithful Word Baptist Church. I'm not saying that to lift up Faithful Word Baptist. Hey, I would have never gone soul winning without a local church. The whole time through my teenage years, I was thinking, boy, wouldn't soul winning be great? And I just thought about it, and I wondered about it. I never did it until I joined a church at 17 years of age where they went soul winning and somebody said, come soul winning with us. That's where I went soul winning. The local church is what you need to teach you to be a soul winner, to get you out soul winning, to motivate you and fire you up about soul winning, to teach you the Bible, to get you stirred up. You need to be here and be around other people that believe like you believe. Hey, you need to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and get recharged and fired up and learn what you need to learn about the Bible. You don't need all these other institutions to reach this area. We just need to invest in the local church. And this church can get the job done. By multiplying. You say, how is this church going to grow? It should be multiplied. You should be winning people to the Lord and bringing them to this church. And then they should be going out and winning people to the Lord and bringing them to church. And that's how this church should be growing, multiplying. It's not going to be Pastor Anderson going out and reaching everybody. It's going to be all of us multiplying our efforts. There's only so much one person can do. But as our church grows, it's unlimited what we can do. Okay? Now look, I'm telling you something. A radio ministry, you know, these radio stations, these radio ministries, that's not controlled by the local church is not of God. Okay? God never told anybody anywhere, a couple of Christians, to get together and say, let's just start a Christian radio station. And let's have everybody mail in their check and send us their money, and we're just going to broadcast the Word of God over the airwaves. Now you say, is there anything wrong with that? No, there's nothing wrong with that. If it was run by a local church, it'd be great. Like, for example, if our church had a radio station, hey, praise the Lord. I would love to have a radio station just play preaching all day long, right? People drive down the road and say, what in the world is on my dial, okay, right? Hey, and listen to Bible preached. Hey, praise God. But see, these people who want to operate outside of the local church, that's where it becomes wrong. Because they want to go out and do their own thing aside from the local church. They're going to go do their own thing. They're going to start their own little ministry somewhere. And it's really what it is, and this is it's just a business, it's a Christian business, okay? And God did not ordain Christian businesses. He ordained the church, okay? Churches should be running a radio station. If you want to have a radio station that preaches the gospel, it should be run by a church, okay? You want to have any kind of a ministry, it should be a ministry of the local church. Why? Because the local church is the most important institution in the Bible. And so everything should be done by church. Church should be God's unit. And you say, well, what's wrong with it? Well, the problem is it's drawing people away from church. It's drawing money away from church. And I'm not one of these money kind of preachers. You know I'm not. But it draws people to send their money to some radio station. You think that's where God wants people's money to go? No. You know, mission, and by the way, here's another form of denominationalism. Mission boards. They have these mission boards where all missionaries answer to one mission board, like a mission board will have hundreds of thousands of missionaries, and the mission board has rules about what the missionaries can and can't do, can and can't believe, can and can't preach. That's a denomination. I'm against them. And you know, most of them are not run by local churches. They're just totally separate organizations with a president and a board of directors. And they're lording over local churches. I mean, churches in, you know, foreign countries are answering to a mission board. And they say, oh, well, no. We're not a local church. We're just a mission. Again, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. If you have a group of people in China or wherever, you know, or in Guatemala or whatever, and you got a group of people, and they're getting together, they're assembling together, somebody's getting up and preaching to them, they're baptizing people, that's a church. That's a congregation. That's a church. And so somebody in America, some BIMI somewhere or whatever, mission board, telling them what to do or telling them what they can and can't say or do, hey, that's wrong. Nobody should be telling local churches what to say and do. They should be independent answering to Jesus Christ. And so these mission boards are wrong. You know, para-church ministries is what I'm talking about. Ministries like Christian radio stations that are not run by the local church. Or here's another one. The Christian Law Association by David Gibbs. The Christian Law Association. They're supposedly fighting for our rights or something. And they're not, by the way. They're supposedly fighting for all our rights as Christians. And so churches all over America donate money to them. And then David Gibbs comes around and preaches in their church and sends them a little newsletter. And you know what the funny thing about the Christian Law Association is? You know, David Gibbs is supposedly an independent fundamental Baptist. I got his Christian legal alert for a while. It never had the word Baptist in it one time. Never. I mean, it's like 4 pages long. Never even used the word Baptist. It never had anything fundamental in it. It never had anything controversial in it. It's just trying to appeal to a broad audience. That's why he preaches for churches that use the NIV. That's why he preaches for churches that are not Baptist. And so people that are loyal to David Gibbs and sending money to the Christian Law Association have yoked themselves up with something that's not fundamental. That goes, he's tied in with the NIV. He's tied in with all these. He said, well, he used the King James only. Yeah, then why is he preaching for a church that uses the NIV, huh? You want to tell me that? Why is he going and preaching at these liberal colleges? I'll tell you why. Because he's just trying to, I don't know what he's doing. He's just trying to yoke everybody up or something in his little association. And you know what? He came and taught us when I was at Hiles Anderson College. He came and taught us, and you know what? This is what I describe him as. He's a fear monger. He comes in and tries to scare us. People are going to sue you. You're going to go to jail and blah, blah, blah. This is what you got to say. This is what you got to do. And you can't say fag, and you can't say queer, and you can't make fun of homosexuals, and you got to tone that down and stuff. You got to put in your constitution that they're allowed to come to the services. This is what he taught us. David Gibbs, Christian Laws. He said, you need to put in your church constitution that the gays are allowed to come to your services. They're welcome in all your services, but that they can't be a Sunday school teacher. You know, they can't be a dean, but that they should be welcome to come and attend and be there. And we love them and we want them here. And you can't say anything harsh or critical about them. You know, preach that it's a sin, but don't ever call them names or anything like that. Because he said, we're to the point now where he said, everyone in your church will have some relative or friend that is one. Now, that's probably true. That one of your extended relatives is probably one. I mean, I have them in my extended family. And he said, well, you know what? If you're preaching about it, it's somebody's uncle, it's somebody's aunt, it's somebody's daughter. So you better tone that down. Like hell I'm going to tone it down, David Gibbs. David Stinkin' Gibbs, don't come tell me what to preach in my church, and he's got a whole classroom full of a bunch of preacher boys, right? This is the problem with denominations, my friend. This is the problem with parachurch ministries. The problem with denominations, the problem with parachurch ministries, is that you've got all the preacher boys from hundreds of churches all over America, you're putting them in one room, and you're bringing in David Gibbs and having him tell them a bunch of garbage. You just ruined like 100 people. Yeah, you didn't ruin me. But you know, a lot of the people in that class walked away afraid, thinking we're going to go to jail if we preach right. And we're breaking the law if we say fag and stuff. Faggot, faggot, faggot. Go, where's the policeman to drag me off to jail? Drag me off to jail. I'll call him a faggot while he throws me in the cell. I'm sick and tired of people trying to tone down our preaching in America. We need to turn up the preaching, my friend. Look around. Turn on the TV if you have one. God help you. I don't have one. Look at the newspaper. If anything, we need to be turning up the preaching. Don't turn it down, my friend. Turn it up, because whatever we're doing is not working. So we need to turn it up a notch. If people would turn up the preaching in this country, maybe the queers would be back in the closet, by the way. Now, what's wrong with denominations? Well, here's what's wrong with them. In Job 1:7, you don't have to turn there, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." So in Job 1:7, we see the devil's walking up and down in the world, right? Listen to 1 Peter 5:8. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Now, is the devil everywhere at the same time? Is God everywhere at the same time? Yes, God's omnipresent, but is Satan everywhere at the same time? No. So if you had in this country, like there ought to be, an independent, local Baptist church in every town in America that was totally independent, only ruled by one person, Jesus Christ, how is the devil going to destroy all these churches? He would have to go to each and every one and destroy each one separately. There's no way that the devil's going to be able to do that. So what does the devil want to do? The devil wants to get all the churches united into denominations, linked up into these fellowships and associations. He wants to get them all tied in with the Christian Law Association. He wants to get them all tied in with these different groups. Why? So that he doesn't have to attack all of them. He can just attack the big dog at the top, and it's all going to filter down, and it's going to ruin everybody. That's the devil's plan. You see, the United Methodist Church today, 10% of their pastors are homosexuals. Of the pastors are homosexual. 10%. That's their statistic. I got that from them. Okay. 50% men pastors, 50% women pastors. 10% of all of them are homos. Okay. Now, a lot of United Methodists don't believe that way. But yet they're tied in with the denomination. They are not allowed to preach against homosexuality in the United Methodist churches, because they're tied in that denomination. So what did the devil do? The devil just brings that garbage into some meeting somewhere, some denominational meeting where they vote and say the homos are allowed. So the Southern Baptist Convention that song leader was from in Tempe here, his denomination votes and says the queers are allowed. Now every church in that denomination is corrupted with that filth. Except for the few that pulled out, that took the stand. Do you see where I'm going with this? The devil wants to get people united so that he can attack a bunch of them at the same time. See, he wants to get them all tied in so that, you know, David Gibbs can tone them down about their preaching about the gays or whatever. You know, somebody can get up and tell them about a different stand on the King James or whatever, and he can ruin as many people as he can. The reason it's so important to be independent as a local church is so that we can get our orders directly from God and we're not getting infiltrated by all these organizations. Think about this. If we were tied in to an organization right now, some people in the pew would be more loyal to that organization than they are even to the church. There's a program called Reformers Unanimous. And I've had somebody tell me I would never go to a church that didn't have Reformers Unanimous. Okay, and Reformers Unanimous is like a program. I'm sure it's a good program. It's for getting over addictions. It's a Bible-based addiction program to get people off of drugs and alcohol or whatever their addiction may be. But they said, I would only go to a church that has Reformers Unanimous. That shows how powerful Reformers Unanimous is. So now it's like, well, am I going to go to Faithful Word Baptist Church, which doesn't have Reformers Unanimous? Or am I going to go to this church that does have Reformers Unanimous? Okay, now follow my logic for a second. Let's say Faithful Word Baptist Church has Reformers Unanimous. And let's say we have that guy in our church, right? And then let's say Reformers Unanimous switches from the King James Bible, and they haven't, you know, or whatever, but let's say they do. And Reformers Unanimous says, we're going to switch to the new King James. Pastor Anderson's going to say, that's it, Reformers Unanimous is gone. And then some people would leave with Reformers Unanimous, because they're more loyal to Reformers Unanimous than they are to God's institution, the local church. You see, that's why these other organizations are dangerous, because they can become even more powerful than the local church. You see, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that is that God didn't ordain Reformers Unanimous. God didn't ordain these other associations. He ordained the local church. That should be supreme. And in the local church, Jesus Christ has the preeminence as being the leader, the head, the sole authority figure of the local church. You know, how about this? Pensacola Christian College. There's a college in Florida called Pensacola Christian College that a lot of independent Baptists go to. The college is not run by any local church. They have a church on the college campus that's run by the college. It's called Campus Church. So the college is the boss of the church. They set up a pastor that's a puppet because the real boss is the president of the college. They have a college of thousands, and then they have a campus church where they set up a pastor who's nothing more than a puppet who preaches and believes exactly what they tell him he can preach and believe. And the church is... Now, what that is you have the tail wagging the dog. You basically have something that's supposed to be a ministry of the church has now taken over and lording over the church. So what's the head of campus church? Is it Jesus Christ? Is Jesus Christ calling the shots down at campus church? Pensacola Christian College is calling the shots down at campus church. And there are churches all over America who Jesus Christ is not calling the shots. Some Bible college somewhere that they're affiliated with is the one really calling the shots. Some denominational headquarters is calling the shots. Some association that they're tied into is the one calling the shots. We need to get back to the basics is what I'm trying to say. We don't need all these affiliations and associations. You say, what are your associations, Patrick? Who are you associated with? Nobody. Nobody. Who do you take orders from? Who's your fundamental pope? Who is it? Nobody. Nobody. Nobody tells me what to preach. Well, you ought to make yourself accountable to somebody. I have. Jesus Christ. That's who I'm accountable to. And as soon as I become accountable to somebody else, I've ceased to have Jesus Christ as my sole head and authority. Because now I'm accountable to a man. Now I'm accountable to some other church. Some big church somewhere is not going to tell Faithful Word Baptist Church what to do. Ever. Ever. No organization is going to give us a list where we sign this off that this is what you believe and this is what you're going to preach. No. I'll sign this off. I'll sign the back of my Bible after Revelation 22:21. I'm going to sign it and say, this is our doctrinal statement. This is our statement of faith, the King James Bible. We need to get back to the basics, my friend. Don't give me this junk about how all we need to do to get people saved is get on TV, get on the radio, join an association, march to Washington with a million people. No, what we need to do is get back to the real methods that God has. Maybe if you'd show up for soul winning, maybe we would win the world in this area at least. We're not going to win the whole world, but hey, maybe we would get Tempe saved. Maybe we would get hundreds of people saved. Maybe we would reach this area. And you know what? Not everybody in Tempe is going to get saved, but maybe at least we could get a lot of people in Tempe saved. But how about this? Let's make this our goal. How about our goal is that everyone in Tempe hears the gospel? We can do that. I mean, we're not going to get everybody saved. There's going to be people who reject it. But why don't we have a goal that every single person in the valley is going to hear the gospel? At least they'll get a chance. How's it going to happen? It's going to happen when you show up for soul winning. It's going to happen when you read the Bible like you need to read it. It's going to happen when you attend church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And this church grows. And we build a foundation here of people that we can count on to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. People who we can count on to be out soul winning, knocking the doors. People who we can count on to get it done. It's not going to be done through any method besides the local church, soul winning, Bible, prayer, preaching. You say, well, good night. It's just the same old stuff. Don't you have anything new? I don't have anything new. I have God's methods. And if we would use God's methods, we'd be working. We don't need all these denominations. We don't need their help. We don't need their money. It doesn't cost any money to preach the gospel. And we ought to just decide we're going to get back to the basics and quit pouring our money and our time and our energy into something that is not the local church, that is not soul winning, that is not Bible reading, that is not mentioned in this book. If it's not mentioned in this book, I don't want to do it. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, please just help us understand the importance of church. I just pray that those that are here would understand that if they get fired up about church, bring people to church, go soul winning with the church, that God, we'd get the job done, we'd get people saved, we'd see this area changed, we'd preach the gospel to every creature. We don't need a new method. We need to just work the old method. God, please just give us the strength and the steadfastness to keep on doing what we're doing. Not to let anybody lord over us or try to get us tied in. Boy, so many people have tried to tie us in. And they want to tie us in with this and tie us in with that. But God, help us to stay gloriously independent so that we can stand alone even if everybody else changes, we can stay the same because Jesus Christ is our head and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Father, we love you and thank you for